Hello, and welcome back to the Women's Soccer Podcast. I'm so excited to be back sharing with my favorite fans of women's soccer in the world about the NWSL's recent transfer window, which came to an end last weekend. I know we've had a very long hiatus. It's been very frustrating for both of us, trust me, as I have been really trying to get episodes out. I've been having lots of technical issues, but if you're listening to this, I guess it means the episode's out. So happy to be back, and hopefully you all will enjoy this episode and will understand more about the moves that went down last week after hearing about some of the trades that occurred from the National Women's Soccer League. I wanted to start off with a big move. The bang of the window was probably Maria Sanchez, we'll get into a little bit later, but there were many other big trades that happened this weekend. Utah Royals has been a team that has really, really struggled this season. Already in 14th place, last place in the league, with only one win out of 5 appearances, and their young squad looks promising, but it is clear that what they need is more experience. Their trade of Angel City FC this weekend brought them experience in a bargain. Amandine Henry was acquired by the Utah Royals from Angel City FC for just a 5-figure deal for a 7-time Champions League winner. This is an insane bargain for the Royals, considering that the Royals have lots of salary cap space open, obviously, which can be presumed by the fact that they don't really have a star player, or they don't really have that many players that are that tenured that would merit a salary in the 6 figures. It makes sense that Henry is someone who will come into this team and bring the leadership. Their midfield has been good so far, but players like Fodier and Nyberg have not had the NWSL experience that they need to compete in this league. So Henri can come in and allow these younger players to develop, as this will be a season of development for Utah, while also allowing herself to make an imprint on this team in hopes of finding them more wins. The Royals have been forced to play a double pivot all season due to the fact that Fodier and Nyberg have simply not had the strength to keep out the league's best attackers, and we've seen in matches how punishing front lines can be in the NWSL to a younger defense, and Utah has really been a victim of that. And I think this season has proven how youth is very important in growing the league, but at the same time there needs to be a balance, and honestly it needs to be 60-40 at least to veterans, because experience in this league is so incredibly important, which is why I'm so happy that even though the young players Utah brought in, who we'll talk about next, are going to be great signings, it's also about the fact that players need time to adjust, and Henri is someone who has played in multiple stints in the league. She helped elevate a suffering Angel City midfield last season to get them into the playoffs, and Utah will hope that she will have a similar effect. Her ability to turn off the ball and her first touch, which is immaculate, will be so beneficial for Utah, who struggled to play out of pressure all season long. They've failed to hold possession after continuously turning the ball over in the back of their defensive side of the field, so it'll be good for this team to have someone who can bring stability, especially after losing Imani Dorsey, one of their best players at the beginning of the year, to an ACL injury. Overall, I give the signing from Utah Royals an A. Close to an A+. We'll get to the A+ signing later, because I do think she's a little bit older, and they kind of did have a lot of young players in that position. But at the same time, Henri's experience will merit her starting every day of the week in this team, and perhaps allow Utah to be able to get more numbers in the field in hopes of creating more goals, because even in the game they won, they still only had 2 shots. If Utah can be clinical and get more chances in front of net, their chances of winning matches this season can propel to a much higher extent, while allowing this young group of players to develop for the future. Henri's leadership, quality on the ball, and ability to play out of pressure will be instrumental for the Royal team this season if they want to continue progressing as a side. The next 2 signings I wanted to lump together were 2 players that have really propelled this Utah Royals team out of what we think is the worst they'll get all year. And let me explain that for a little bit. To Ana Tejada, the 21-year-old Spanish center back, and Macy Frazier, 21-year-old New Zealand winger, are 2 young talents that have revolutionized women's soccer. Fraser got a call up to the New Zealand women's national team and has been touted as one of the biggest prospects of the program's history. And Tahata is someone who has recently gotten a call up in 2022 against Argentina for Spain, and she has started in 14 games this year for Real Sociedad. Considering that this young Royals team didn't really have a lot of immediate quality, let's just say, they really struggled in a lot of matches this season so far. These two signings are incredible because Tejada was a player who, Tejada and Fraser were both brought in on what was deemed as six-figure fees. By the Australian media and New Zealand media, talked about Fraser's fee being the record fee for a New Zealand player, on any player out of the W League. And Spanish journalists have said Tejada's contract at the Utah Royals is twice the contract she was earning at Real Sociedad. And this proves my point in that there is so much incredible talent overseas, and the NWSL now, due to their newfound TV contract, has so much more money than these other leagues that they can use that financial superpower in order to find these young talents like Tejada and Fraser who have immediate impact on the teams. Tejada is someone who can easily fill in for Amani Dorsey in the back line, as Kate Del Fava, who has been playing center back for the Royals, could go back to outside back and play alongside Pogarsh, will be the other outside back, and the two center backs could be Tejada and Real. This will help the Royals orchestrate a team because Del Fava is so good at getting up the pitch, but she hasn't been able to do that in her center back role. So this signing doesn't only provide a great young player, it allows other young players to get to be getting the best out of them, which is what the Royals want to see as a team that is not trying to win this season. Of course, they're attempting to win games, but that's not realistic, of course. They want to set up an organization that will be successful in 5 years' time, in 10 years' time, and these young players are going to be successful, not just successful now, but successful very long term. Sporting director Kelly Cousins praised Fraser by saying she will have an immediate impact on the Royals, proving how the organization is investing in young talent from overseas and using the fact that there is plenty of young players out there in the women's soccer world to continue growing the game from a younger age while providing star power for the next generation. Lots of young players in this Royals team have a promising future. Young players like Mazingo, Tucker, and Lauren Flynn, we've barely gotten to see them on the pitch. But those are players who we still need to develop as an organization if you're in the eyes of the Royals. Even with players in the starting lineup, like Sentinel is doing amazing, she still has a lot of time to develop. But she can't do everything for this team, even as she's playing as one of the best rookies in the league, if not the best one. Tejada and Fraser will bring defensive stability and attacking creativity, two things the Royals have desperately lacked, separately of Ali Settner up top, and the back line has been flawed just because they've had to face so many shots due to a weaker midfield, something that Fraser will help solve. Fraser's versatility, Tejada's experience in the top levels of Spanish football will be a benefit for the Royals team as they strive to get more wins on the board this season in the National Women's Soccer League. Will these signings work out? Well, we'll have to see when the Royals play Houston Dash this weekend. If they make the National Women's Soccer League has been known for having incredible goalkeepers. America has developed incredible goalkeepers due to the influence that our other sports have. And so it may seem puzzling why sides like the Thorns and Gotham FC are choosing to invest in goalkeeping outside of the United States. Well, the infrastructure in place in the Mexican Women's League, where Alvarado previously played before joining the Dash, and she also played in France as well, along with the infrastructure that Chelsea has, being one of the best women's football teams in the world, will provide that sense of professionalism to the National Women's Soccer League in a different form. The NWSL has a lot of professionalism in various ways, but it doesn't fit the same social norms, you may say, as a top-flight European club. And considering how the NWSL is becoming a more international league, meaning that goalkeepers are not just shot stoppers, they're playing with their feet a lot more, the American goalkeeper has struggled to adjust it, with the exceptions of incredible goalies like Nair, Murphy, and Kingsbury. There's been a clear talent gap in the goalkeeping pool. Therefore, with the influx of money coming in from the TV contract, there's been a need to invest outside the league. We'll start with Emily Alvarado. Alvarado was bought in from France for the who's also a good goalie. Anyway, Alvarado was bought in from France last season for the Houston Dash to fill that backup goalkeeper spot. Alvarado is a top goalie though, who could easily start on any other side. And considering the Thorns' defensive flaws, we'll say, much more severe than that. But they've really, really struggled. Selby Hogan has been not great in net, to say the least. They've given up a lot of soft goals, and the Thorns continued over the beginning of the season to not be able to win matches. Even when they were finding the ball in the back of the net, they were giving up 5 goals, and that's very problematic for Portland Thorns team with so much structure. We've seen some of the worst performances in the organization's history with this side, and that's been due to the fact of their disorganization in the defensive line, and that stemmed from the goalkeeping. Alvarado is a tall, amazing stopper who's good at the traditional goalkeeping that we've seen in old-fashioned soccer, but as I mentioned, in modern football, shot stopping is not the only role of a goalkeeper. They need to play as an 11th player, and we've seen the flaws of Hogan and Miller into the season so far, Gotham's goalie who will be replaced by Berger. Overall, Alvarado is a tall shot stopper who's incredible in 1v1 situations, but she's also someone who can play out of the back incredibly well and has experience at the international level, something the Thorns can use, as they've always relied on top international goalies like Nadine Anger, Aidy French, Bella Bixby, who has gotten a few calls to the U.S. team, and so on. Therefore, it's clear that the Thorns need that goalkeeping leadership with Bixby out on maternity leave, and Alvarado will provide that. And Katrin Berger was a player who's had immense talents with the German national team, but though she's often found herself not as the first string keeper, but at Chelsea, she solidified herself as a club hero, saving multiple penalty kicks in the penalty shootout last season against Olympique Lyonnais, 7-time champions in the recent decade of the Champions League. Many more if you go back in history, but even recently, they've won all 7, which is insanity. But Berger's shot-stopping ability and ability to play out of possession is going to be instrumental for Gotham. Gotham has looked like disorganized and just a mess in general. They've looked like a mess, let's be frank. I can categorize that as they're my own team, and it's been really hard to watch them this season. Miller has been amazing at shot stopping, but she's made some instrumental plays, but also some very floundering errors that really raised eyebrows for many fans in the stands. If you look at the Washington Spirit match, that was a very poor performance from Gotham, with the Spirit dominating us, should have been way higher scoreline than 2-0. Miller, on one of the goals that luckily for her was called offsides, proceeded to play a pass right into the direction of Trittany Rodman, who easily passed it in to Assar, who just was able to tap it into the net. These mistakes are not acceptable from a top-tier club, and that is why we've seen Shelby Hogan made a similar mistake that allowed Kansas City's Vanessa DiBernardo to score in the first game. These mistakes are not acceptable. Gotham and Portland are two top clubs in the NWSL, and both of them find themselves in the bottom of the table. Therefore, reinforcements need to start from the back, which is where all possession and build-up starts from, which is why these two goalkeeping moves can help put Gotham and Portland back where they would love to belong, and they do belong, historically, at the top of the table. The Houston Dash lost players like Alvarado and Sanchez, who the latter we'll get to later, but they also brought in much-needed reinforcements. They brought in center backs Tarciani, the 20-year-old Brazilian international, and Paige Nielsen, the 30-year-old veteran of the National Women's Soccer League. Nielsen is a warrior, tough player who is very willing to commit to any single challenge to prevent the ball from going into the back of the net. She is the National Women's Soccer League experience that this back line has been dreadfully missing. With many converted defensive midfielders to the back line, their lineup has made zero sense all season. We all can acknowledge that as NWSL fans, considering the fact they've pushed players like a fullback in Courtney Peterson and defensive midfielders and Sophie Schmitz and Sarah Puttigam into the back line, the Dash have really, really struggled, not even in front of goal, but just in order to keep the ball out of the net. And with one of the best goalkeepers in the league in Jane Campbell, that seems so odd, but it's really due to their make shift back line that they were forced to play with. Bringing Tarsiani for a record fee of $500,000 to $600,000 for the club, it's a record three fee. The third or fourth highest fee in the world. I think it's the third highest fee that's ever been paid in the world. Third highest fee in the NWSL, at least. Tarsiani is an investment for the future. The NWSL has seen so many young talents that have prospered and gone onto the U.S. Women's National Team, but now we're starting to see an era of the league where they're developing international players as well, bringing new communities of fans into the league, but also providing different challenges for club players. We aren't seeing the same copycat American player anymore. We're getting to see a bunch of different players from different nationalities, which is bringing more styles of play and, honestly, more fun to the league. Generic U.S. players have not been able to do well on the national stage, and so by being able to integrate these other nationalities into their DNA, so to speak, as a player, will be crucial, not just for their club success, but all at their international success as well. We've talked about how good this is for the league to be having so many more international players, with the Dash participating in that, bringing in players like Andressa Alves from Brazil and Verona Backman from Switzerland, but is also is just a necessity for the roster. Bringing in two new center backs, with Nielsen as well being a player who's played all over the globe in South Korea, in the W League, in Australia, New Zealand, along with playing some time in Cyprus even, besides her extensive NWSL experience, Nielsen is a ball-winning veteran who will put her body on the line, and every team needs one of those players. Nielsen is someone who will never give up, even if she's incredibly tired. She's one of the hardest working players you can ask for on the pitch, and for a Dash team that has looked like a mess, someone like Nielsen can get in there and straighten this team's mannerisms on the pitch out, because it's been really confusing to see how many mistakes this Dash team has continued to make in build-up, which has been incredibly frustrating. So someone like Tarsiani, who can not just be a center back, she's huge, over six feet, can body players, incredible left foot. These two will be instrumental in the build-up of the play, but also just defensively, being a traditional center back, doing their job. These multifaceted talents are going to be crucial for this Dash team if they want to turn their defensive performances around, as they hope to reach only their second playoff appearance in their club's history. This move was the instrumental move of the window for both sides, as we saw one of the highest paid players in the league, who is making a multi-million dollar annual contract in Maria Sanchez, get traded only a few weeks into the new season after re-signing with the Dash side, requesting a trade to extend her time in the NWSL in a different place. And I think that the Wave will be an incredible place for her to shine on the field. And overall, my main takeaway from this was how restricted free agency, even though it does give a little bit more player freedom, is still flawed in a lot of ways, because Maria Sanchez clearly did not want to stay with the Houston Dash team, but due to the fact that she was only a restricted free agent, the Dash had the ability to match any offer that was wanted or signed by Maria. So it really shows how there's limitations within free agency, and free agency is good, but there's still more for player agency over their careers that could be done in the league. And I understand how restricted free agency is part of sports, in American sports, but I also think due to the fact that soccer is a global sport and the NWSL seems to go towards a lot of U.S. policy rules rather than conforming with what the rest of the soccer landscape is doing, I think it's just weird for the sport. I guess that the Dash did end up getting something for Sanchez. I gave the Dash an A minus on this trade. The PR wise, they get an F, but due to the fact that Sanchez was wanting out, clearly seemed quite desperate to get out of the team, the fact that they've recouped over 500 grand for her is a lot of money. And I think even though it's clear that she had no interest in staying at the Dash at all, the Dash still got a hefty fee for her, and that shows the player that she is, but it also shows they at least got something recouped for her, and they probably paid a much less significant fee to get her to the side. She wasn't, just like how Ashley Sanchez really wasn't clicking in Washington in the same way that she's clicking in Houston, the other Sanchez, who's super prolific in the league, and Maria Sanchez will hope to re-find the form that made her one of the star players for Mexico's national team for the Altri Femenil. Sanchez is incredible with serving balls from wider areas, and she's great in 1v1 positions, which is why it was very confusing for all fans of the league to see her get relegated to a left-back position, when that is clearly far from what she naturally plays, and it really just didn't work out for that side. I thought that she really was not being used at all to her full abilities, and that was not her fault. It was the system's fault that Fran Alonso implemented really just didn't work with what she was playing, but them playing a more narrow formation up top, it wouldn't allow Maria to get into advanced positions as an attacker in the attacking third. So I think for her in this Wave team, playing a front line perhaps of Sanchez, Morgan, and Jakobsen with a midfield of Van Egmond, Shaw, and McCaskill, this Wave team that has also struggled with the ball in the back of the net, it will be a great adjustment for Maria Sanchez to get into a side that will really utilize her in her full form as a winger, a left winger, with her left foot of gold. She is able to pick out any tall attacker in the box, and considering that they have players like Morgan and Shaw who are great in build-up, it'll allow Sanchez to peel wide and have players who can dominate centrally, so she can do what she does best in wider areas. Overall, for the Wave, I give the signing an A, just because it really feels like it fills the hole that this team needs. It allows Shaw to drop into a deeper role with McCaskill as a double 10, perhaps, with Van Egmond or Cole Brico being able to play in that pivot 6 role. So this Wave team is really coming together as a title contender. They haven't won a title yet, even though they've been very competitive every year. And I think Maria can be that bolster of attacking prowess that this team has been looking for. And that's why I'm just in generally so excited to see how Sanchez, Morgan, Shaw, McCaskill, Jakobsen, Bennett, Ali, their loaded front line can combine together to hopefully allow the Wave to get out of the bottom half of the table. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Women's Soccer Podcast. If you enjoyed, please consider us following us wherever you get your podcasts and on Instagram. Make sure you don't miss a single piece of content from us. By following us, you not only support the podcast, but you're supporting yourself by getting access to free women's soccer news weekly, and by the simple click of the button, you can get an alert whenever we post our newest episode. Make sure you don't miss anything. Also, if you enjoyed today, please consider leaving us a 5-star review to help support our podcast and help to support small women's soccer news outlets, as your support means the world to us. Thanks for listening to today's episode, and peace out from your host, LDG. See you next time.